So have you been saved? Have you ever been asked that question? I grew up in the Bible Belt of Central Alabama. It was very heavily non-Catholic Christian Protestants. That was a frequent topic of conversation. Have you been saved? And the number of Catholics in that area was very small, especially in those days. So there was lots of, you know, banter back and forth about the nature of our salvation. And have we been saved? And do we have to earn our salvation? So often, Catholics get accused of subscribing to a works righteousness type of salvation versus an imputed righteousness that God just deems us worthy. And both of those are wrong. It's not just an imputed that God just declares us righteous and we don't work for our salvation. As St. Paul tells us in that second reading, it's a gift of God that while we were dead in our transgressions, by his very grace, he saved us by grace through faith. He does this through the sacraments, through a life lived in communion with the church, a life lived according to her liturgical calendar and the sacramental system that God has ordained to be the measure, the means at which the grace from the cross is given to us. How does the merit of the cross apply to me? It's through the grace received in the sacraments, sacramental grace, which sanctifies me. And it's that sanctifying grace that allows me to heaven. So have you been saved? I hope each of you, especially if you've been baptized, will say yes. You've been saved by grace through faith, not by any works, so that no one will boast. How easy it is for us to fall into that heresy called Pelagianism that says we have to work for our salvation, that all I have to do is do good things, that I have everything that I need within me. I'm sufficient in my ability to do the good works that God has given for me. And if I just try my best, if I look deep inside of me, if I become the best version of myself, then I'll be a saint, I'll be glorious, and I'll be saved. We were dead in our transgressions. So it's not anything within me unless I have the grace of God living within me. And this is what we do when we come to Mass. We enter into this sacramental economy, this means of receiving the merits of the cross. For God did, he so loved the world, he did send his only Son to die for us on the cross. And because of that, we have access to the Father. There's no other way. There's nothing I can do other than to enter into that relationship. The first reading gives us a good snapshot of salvation history, of what happened to the chosen people when they tried to do it on their own, when they thought they had everything that they needed in order to be saved. God had given them the covenant. We've heard about it the last 3 weeks. First with Noah, when he kind of did a reset, a reboot, and said, "Never again will I destroy the earth." And then when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, he gave him the promise of the land and progeny, that he will have offspring more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sands on the shore, and that he would one day inherit the promised land. And then last week with Moses, once the Israelites left the slavery of Egypt and they traveled through the desert, Moses went to the top of the mountain and spoke face to face with God, who gave him the Ten Commandments as a means of keeping the chosen people free. The law was given to the people as an expression of God's love so that they would know what to do and what not to do, so they can maintain their freedom that was given to them as a free gift as God led them out of slavery into the promised land. But Chronicles, which in some of the Jewish texts would be the last book of their sacred scriptures, And the verses we had today will be the end of the Jewish scriptures, reminding the people that no matter what God did, he sent prophets and priests, but they were unfaithful, unfaithful, unfaithful. Abomination after abomination. They denied the law. They forsook the covenant. They turned their back to God. And it speaks about God's wrath, God's anger. What we can say about that is God respects our freedom. There's no love without freedom. Unless I choose to love, it's not true love. But with that ability to choose to love, it's also the ability to choose not to love. And what happened after their infidelities and their abominations? They faced the consequences of their actions. And that's what they say is God's anger, the natural consequences to infidelity and abominations. So the promises that we heard about land and offspring, it says those who were not killed, those are the chosen people who remained alive. So already the uncountable offspring have been cut short because of the wars. The chosen people were fewer in number. And then they were once again in captivity. They were enslaved in Babylon. So they lost the chosen land, the promised land. And then their temple was destroyed. The temple that Solomon built, the temple that was given specific instructions as a sign of God's presence within his people. This glorious temple was destroyed. So everything that the chosen people thought proved God's promise to them seemed to have been taken away for 70 years. So we can imagine that most of the people who went into exile died. And so the people who were still in exile never had an experience of the promised land, never had an experience of living the fullness of the promise. But what did God do? At the end of that reading, the very end of the Jewish scriptures, the great Persian king, the unclean pagan, the man not part of the promise, who had no access to God, was the man God chose to set them free. He said, go back to your homeland. I will rebuild the temple. How often do we allow God to expand our horizons for how he chooses to work in our lives? It was nothing that the chosen people did to be chosen in the first place or to be brought back into salvation. It was God's free gift to them the first time. It was God's free gift to them by choosing a pagan, unclean man to bring them back into the promise. It's so easy for us to just go through the motions, to go through the routines, to show up at Mass and go home and our life has not changed. It's so easy to pick a practice for Lent because I did it last year and the year before. And I just go through the motions and my heart never changes. You have been saved by grace through faith. And for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn us, but to set us free. It's so hard for us to receive this. Just like John said in the gospel, people preferred the darkness. There's a battle raging in the world, and there's a battle raging within our hearts. Light versus darkness, good versus evil. Sin versus holiness. He tells them, and it's the same for us. It's the same for the Old Testament. We seem to prefer the works of darkness. We deny the light. We deny the free gift of grace. We want to do our things our own way. And then we face the consequences of our choices, and we wonder why God has forgotten his promise. Why has God forgotten me? How many times have we asked that question? the chosen people for 70 years. Some of the people who were born in captivity were facing the consequences of their father's sins. They must have felt abandoned. The same abandonment that Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? That's the effect of sin. It's not just a bad habit that I have. It's not just a little thing I do that maybe I shouldn't, and it's not the best version of myself, but I'm not that bad. Sin abandons us from God. He never leaves, we leave. And we're left to feel the darkness, the depth of that darkness when we choose against God. And that's the reality of the human heart, without God's grace. And there's nothing that we can do to change it. It's only God's grace. It's only God's grace that's given to us first through baptism. And this season of Lent is for those who are preparing to come into the church, and for those of us who are already in the church, to remember our baptismal promises, that we have been saved by grace, that God died for you, that you were stuck in your transgressions, no way out. There was nothing you could do except say yes to this invitation to love, to say yes to this, enter into this relationship. Next week, when we're going to hear about Jeremiah prophesying, promising the new covenant, the new covenant that we're going to make reality in just a few moments in the consecration of the sacred species, the covenant that is made new for us each time we come to Holy Mass. This is how we enter into this lifelong discipleship, this covenant of the Heavenly Father. This is how the merits of the cross are given to me as I enter into, as I honor this covenant. Part of the reason in that first reading is because they didn't honor the Sabbath. They refused to respect God's law. The season of Lent is a beautiful season for us. And yes, it's not easy to talk about sin. It's not easy to think about sin. We always want to wear robes. We always want to be joyful. We always want to bask in that. But if sin is not a reality, then we don't need to be saved. If sin is not a reality, we don't need any of this. It's because we were dead in our transgressions that God poured out His love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And for that reason, we can rejoice, because we couldn't do it on our own. Let us open our hearts to this amazing promise. Let us say yes to this invitation to true life, to true love. Let us say no to the darkness, to resist the temptations to give in to our own desires for pleasure and prominence. Let us humbly submit to Jesus, to His church, to His laws, to His commandments. For the same reason that the Old Testament had the law is the same reason that we have the laws, the rules, the doctrine. Because this is how we maintain our freedom. This is how we become more like Jesus. This grace we receive through the sacraments is a real thing. It does transform our hearts. It will set us free if we choose it. Are you ready to say yes?